Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. One thing that is part of my betting mindset is getting comfortable being uncomfortable, finding opportunities that are unsexy and oftentimes might scare you. So how do you work on getting comfortable being uncomfortable? Today, we're going to be talking about NFL team props. So I want to give you an exercise that you can do to help you with discomfort. I want you to pick one NFL team with the lowest win totals and take their over. We'll set the limit at 6.5 wins or less. That'll give you an option of the Bills, Dolphins, Bengals, Raiders, Giants, Redskins, Lions, Bucks, and Cardinals. Remember, just because a team has a win total of 5 or 6 doesn't mean that they can't be better than expected. Those teams can hit the over. I want you to comb through and find your diamond in the rough. On the flip side, I also want you to take one of the NFL teams with the highest win totals, and I want you to take the under. We'll use the 4 teams with the double-digit win totals, the Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, and Saints. It's not easy rooting against high-profile teams with high-powered offenses. But guess what? Just like the bad teams can be good, every year there are good teams that don't live up to expectations. Create your narrative where there could be some regression. In doing this exercise, it'll give you better perspective. You'll see the good and bad. You'll have a better relationship with expectations, and hopefully it'll help you be less square by only taking teams and bets that are shiny and make you feel good. Opportunities are everywhere. You just need to be willing to go to places most others aren't.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Let's keep the NFL prop bet action going. To give some insight on NFL team props, joining me is Elliot Crist, Director of Product and Analytics at the Quant Edge. Elliot, great to have you on the show.
I'm pumped to be here. I'm really excited to talk some team props, so I appreciate the opportunity.
So what I want to start with is your mindset for betting NFL team props, because so often it can be like, oh, I like this guy. They've got Aaron Rodgers, so of course they're going to win. And there's not a lot of substance behind that, but I really like to dig into the mindset and the process. So take us into yours.
Absolutely. So there are a few things I really look for. You know, one, strength of schedule. Two, I want to understand what kind of injuries did the team have last year? What additions do they have? What subtractions do they have? How good are they at the positions that matter most? You know, quarterback, offensive tackle, receiver, cornerback, edge rusher. I want to understand, you know, did this team have a lot of situations where they should regress to the mean? And I think that's one of the most overused statements in fantasy football, in betting, whatever it is. But if they lost a ton of one-score games, historically speaking, that's something that really averages out over time. So if this team, you know, won 7 games last year but lost 5 straight one-score games, that's a team that's probably going to hit the over next year if it's a 8-win team. So I really look for those things. And, you know, like you said, it's a lot more than just, you know, this team has Aaron Rodgers, so the Packers are going to win 11 games. Vegas knows that. We shouldn't go crazy just because a team has a star quarterback. That's factored into lines.
What about turnover margin? So on one hand, turnovers, how predictable are they? So you can say, well, there's some teams who have good defenses that are going to be more likely to get forced turnovers, whereas on the flip side, is that as predictable? So very similarly to what you just said, regressing to a mean, if you're good 1 year at turnovers, does that necessarily translate over?
No, it doesn't. I mean, historically speaking, teams that are elite defenses really struggle to be elite defenses year to year in terms of being number one overall, or like you mentioned, the turnovers. The Bears are the great example this year. You know, if they don't get that number of turnovers, which again, historically speaking, they won't, that defense will take a step back. That doesn't mean they're not still an elite defense and they don't have playmakers all over the field and they will still be, you know, a really talented team this year. But it's like the Jaguars last year where everyone bet on them to win the Super Bowl. And that defense, you know, couldn't perform at that level, you know, every single game. Also, defensive statistics can be so dependent on the schedule they played. You know, if you play a turnover prone quarterback that can, you know, juke the stats almost throughout the entire season. I always think of the Ryan Fitzpatrick game against the Kansas City Chiefs where he threw 6 interceptions. So, you know, turnover margin is something you have to understand is probably going to regress to the mean as well.
Yeah, we can get a little Nathan Peterman action there. Five interceptions in the first half against the Chargers. So when looking at these NFL team props and the win totals, I like to also say, all right, we've got low end and high end because I'm trying to see perception and opportunity. So looking at the low end, Dolphins 4.5, Cardinals 5, Bengals 6, all these numbers are coming from FanDuel. When looking on the low end teams where perception is low and everyone's like the Dolphins are going to be the worst team, but when looking at the odds themselves or the payouts, the Dolphins are minus 150 for the over, the Cardinals minus 120 for the over. So what is your mindset when we're looking at the low end teams?
Yeah, I think so often people look at those numbers and say it's hard not to win 5 games in the NFL. You have to be really bad, and so people will just take the over. For the low-end teams, you know, strength of schedule is really important. Do they have a quarterback that can pull some stuff out of the hat for them? Do they have, again, the positions or the opportunity, the strength of schedule to try to sneak out a few extra wins? I think the Dolphins are going to be a very bad team this year. The offensive line is poor. They do have Xavier Howard and decent receivers, but Josh Rosen or Ryan Fitzpatrick, these aren't guys that are going to win you a lot of games. So, you know, 5 wins doesn't seem like much, but I think they may actually struggle to get there.
All right, let's look on the flip side, the high end. And right now, FanDuel has 4 double-digit win teams, Patriots at 11, Chiefs at 10.5, Rams at 10.5, Saints at 10.5. And looking at this, Patriots minus 130 on the over, Chiefs minus 120 on the over, but Rams plus 115 on the over and Saints plus 110 on the over. So it's very easy to once again say, oh my God, these are the best teams. They did so well last year and not seeing a regression. Certainly when we're looking at 3 of those 4 teams have either won a Super Bowl or been in the Super Bowl in recent years.
Yeah. And another factor I want to play into these predictions is how tough is your division and how much back and forth do you have with your division historically? So the Patriots, you know, they have basically 6 wins locked up in their division, and they hit that over number every single year. Their strength of schedule tends to be much easier because of that division, and, you know, it's much easier for them to be good year over year. The Saints have one of the toughest divisions in all of football, with I think the Panthers are a really good team, the Falcons are a good team, and the Bucs can score a lot of points and surprise you certain weeks. With the Chiefs, you're just relying on that offense to be as good as they were. You know, you talk about regression to the mean. Patrick Mahomes' touchdown rate was historically good, all-time good. Even if it drops to just, you know, elite, they're going to score a lot less points this year. And the Chargers are in that division. You know, the Rams, I think that the Cardinals should be 2 wins for them. The 49ers, I think, are an improving team. And the Seahawks are a solid team. I think that, you know, when you can look at the division and start saying, okay, can this team go 5-1 in the division? That really sets a nice floor for them to play out of division games and have an opportunity. Those are the best teams in the league, but they're also priced like the best teams in the league.
Right. And if we're looking at division, certainly the Saints with Atlanta, Carolina, and what would many think a potentially improving Tampa team. I mean, we've heard that every single year with Jameis Winston. Now you got Bruce Arians there. So I guess it can only go up. So, all right, let's get to some picks on your end, and I'm going to let you start.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's stick in the NFC South there, and I'll take the Panthers over 7.5 wins. And this team started 6-2 last year. And then from weeks 11 to 15, they lost all their games by 1 score or less. This team had a lot of good additions in the offseason. Bruce Irvin, Gerald McCoy, Brian Burns, that's 3 pass rushers, Matt Paradis at center. You know, they also had a couple injuries last year, which I think are really important. One being Curtis Samuel and one being Greg Olsen. When Greg Olsen was on the field, they averaged more than 1 yard more per pass attempt on the field when he was on the field. With Curtis Samuel, he actually had a huge impact on the run game because he has that 4-3-1 speed. He can take the top off the defense. Defense had to kind of give more respect, couldn't load the box. And their run success rate jumped from 47% to 62% when he was on the field. I really like their defensive backfield as well with James Bradbury, Dante Jackson's an improving corner. And this is a team with Cam Newton healthy has performed incredibly well. I mean, 15-1, 11-5. Last year they were 7-9, but had that bad luck with the one score games. If Cam Newton stays healthy this year, and all reports are that his shoulder has looked phenomenal, I think the Panthers could easily win 9 or 10 games this season.
So at FanDuel, the Panthers are priced -160 on the over. How much does the price come into play when you're looking at picks like this?
It absolutely comes into play. And I think it's one of the reasons line shopping is incredibly important as well, you know. But at -160, you know, one of the things you can do at certain books too is take the over of 8, sell half a win. You can get it at +110. And sometimes that's worth doing. -160 means a lot of the value is gone on this line. People have taken advantage of it, but I really feel comfortable this team's winning at least 8 games. So I wouldn't hate +110 or +115 at the over 8 wins.
All right, cool. So you've also got one other pick for us. What do you got?
So this is a strategy I've used in past years as well, in that it's betting on a team to win the Super Bowl that you think will make the playoffs, because you don't necessarily have to have the team win the Super Bowl to make money on the bet. And the Atlanta Falcons are 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. And I think this team has a really good chance to compete with the Saints to win the division. They're playing in a dome or retractable roof in 12 of their first 13 games and 13 of 16 games overall. That's awesome for a team that's historically been much better indoors, as well as their team built on speed. They get 3 defensive star players back this year in Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, and Ricardo Allen. Last year with Deion Jones, the Falcons gave up 6.43 yards per attempt with him on the field compared to 8.64 yards per attempt with him off the field. And the explosive pass plays dropped from 5% with him on the field. It's a situation where they got destroyed by running backs in the passing game. And when he came back, they really helped him. And this is also an offense that I think is as talented as any in the league. You know, Matt Ryan is 2 years removed from an MVP season. Basically is guaranteed to throw for 4,500 yards, 30-plus touchdowns, and a 65% completion percentage with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Austin Hooper, Devontae Freeman, all healthy, and 2 first-round picks on that offensive line. I think the defense will be improved, and this team will make the playoffs. They're 2 years away from the Super Bowl, and I think that this team can make a playoff run. And worst-case scenario, they make the playoffs, and I kind of hedge out and guarantee myself profit with this bet.
What about taking the Panthers over and the Falcons for the Super Bowl, being that the teams are in the same division? Does that are they mutually exclusive for you, or knowing that they're going to play each other at least twice a year, where does that come into play?
I think it definitely, it's almost a little bit of a hedge against itself, but I think the Falcons can absolutely win this division at 11-5 and the Panthers finish 9-7. And we've seen that happen before. Listen, it's going to be tough for both these teams to make deep runs. But the NFC South, I think, is the best division. It's got a real chance to put 2 teams in the playoffs, if not the Panthers competing for a 3rd spot. So, you know, I think it's a legitimate concern. But the Falcons Super Bowl is an opportunity to hedge throughout the course of the season as well. And the Panthers, I think, are worst-case scenario an 8-8 team this year.
All right, so I'm going to go and give my pick, and let's play a game of blind resume. And Elliot, would we agree that some things that are important to a team, who their coach is, who their quarterback is, offensive line, experience, some of those things ring a bell a little bit?
Yeah, you could say those things might matter.
All right, so blind resume, team number 1 has a first-year head coach, a quarterback starting his first full season, and a 20th ranked offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus. Team number 2 has a 12-year Super Bowl winning head coach, a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, and the 3rd best offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus. Which of those 2 teams would you rather have?
So yeah, the thing is, I know I can cheat and know who these 2 teams are, because I feel like one of the teams is missing a guy who's is looking for a helmet, and the other team has a quarterback that is enjoying talking about Daniel Jones at the moment. So
very much so. So we're talking about the Browns and the Steelers, and currently the Browns are favored to win the division at +135, and the Steelers at plus 170. And you're seeing so much heat on the Browns right now. Everyone loves Baker Mayfield. They love that, oh, here comes Odell Beckham Jr. and here's this nice shiny object. And in the words of Denny Green, if we're going to crown them, let's crown them. And everyone's ready to crown the Browns. But if there's anything that I know about football, it is consistency. And the Steelers are one of, if not the most consistent teams in all of football. And I know that you say, well, what about the loss of Antonio Brown? And what about the loss of Le'Veon Bell? And it's curious to me how the Patriots can get praised for winning without having these superstars in all of these positions. It's like year after year, they've got Edelman and then a bunch of whoever's at wide receiver, and at running back, it's whoever. But the Steelers actually have Juju and have James Conner on top of everything there. So the loss of AB and Le'Veon Bell is addition by subtraction, whereas the Browns, on the other hand, they're adding to try and change the culture. And for me, I would rather be late to the Browns party and be someone who stays on the bus too long with the Steelers. Sign me up for I'll believe it when I see it. So because of that, I'm going to be taking the Steelers plus 70 to win the division.
So I think everything you said is very fair there. I'm someone who bought the Browns. I don't want to say before everyone else, because obviously, you know, you never know who was first, but I got them at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl before the Odell Beckham trade and other moves they made, because I really liked the core. And if they added the right pieces, I thought they could really take a step up. You know, their defensive line is going to be really good this year with the addition of Sheldon Richardson and Olivier Vernon. But trading Kevin Zeitler was a huge deal for them. That leaves a lot of holes on that offensive line. They do have elite playmakers on the outside with Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku. Defensive backs, Greg Ward looked great last year. Greedy Williams is really good, though you do worry about Steve Wilks forcing these guys into off-man and zone like he did Patrick Peterson and basically wasting that talent last year. There is something to be said for the, you know, what the Steelers do year in and year out. I mean, Big Ben is an elite quarterback. Like you mentioned, their offensive line, it goes deeper than James Conner too. Jalen Samuels is really good. Vance McDonald, when he's healthy, is fantastic. And the Steelers get after the quarterback. So, I mean, I think it could absolutely be a battle for the division. All the value of the Browns is gone. And so when I really like the Browns early, but that was, they're at 16-1 now, and I got them at 30-1. So it's a different situation. I think it's the same thing we see in fantasy football. People fall in love with teams as opposed to the cost associated with them. And my opinion is really important to look for value lines and almost sometimes ignore the team name.
And while we're here, I'm also going to take a share on the under Browns 9.5 minus 140 on the season win total. It's something that the Browns certainly are improved. But oftentimes, even we especially see in fantasy football too, it is not this year, it's the following year where they get the taste of the expectations. It doesn't necessarily deliver in the following years. Like, all right, we learned from that. So
this is too. You know, the Ravens are a really good defensive team, and they're going to play a lot of ball control and be a difficult team to beat. This division tends to beat up on each other. And listen, the Bengals are beat up, but the Browns, Ravens, and Steelers are going to be in a dogfight where 10-6 might win this division. So if you don't like the Browns to win the division, you should definitely be betting the under 9.5.
Elliot, love the insight you brought. Where can people connect with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Elliot Crist, 1L1T, no H in Crist. I know it's difficult. You can blame my parents. I had nothing to do with it. You can follow all my work at thequantedge.com. We got sports betting, DFS, tools, content, podcasts, all that good stuff. So check it out at thequantedge.com.
And I want to hear from you. What are some of your favorite NFL team prop bets? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And last thing, we would love for you to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And here's what we're going to do. If you do this, we're going to give you a shout out on the podcast. We want to show you love for showing us love. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. What's wrong with it? The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The
1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action, so everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, some say I got more juice than Tupac.